Hey everyone, this is Anthony Fleming, Senior Pastor of Church Alive, praying that this message is fresh, real, and powerful in your mind, your heart, your family, every part of your life. If you enjoy these messages, subscribe to it, share it with a friend to build their faith. God bless you as you lean in to the power and presence of God's Word. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet? You doing good? Great to see you in the house of God. It's been a while. Hope I still remember to preach. What do you think? Praise God. Wanted to take a moment. I missed you. Just want to tell you that. My wife and I missed you. We miss worshiping with you. Miss the people of our church. Miss the friendliness of our church, the smiles of our church, the hugs of our church. Our church is a hugging church. If you've been around a while and you don't like hugs, eventually you start to warm up to them a little bit. And then later you like warm up to them a little more. Then later you become the hugging factor. You start hugging other people and then they feel awkward and you just hug them again anyway. But anyway, we're a loving church. And I do want to honor Pastor Katie, Pastor Magno especially, and Ashley, who carried so much organizational weight throughout the time. And my wife and I are away, all the pastors, all the team, service leaders, Dream Team members and leaders and Transform Group leaders, we honor you, we love you. Those who pray for the church, gave to it consistently. Man, honor you, love you. And if you're new today and you've been around like a month or so, you're like, who's this guy? My wife and I started the church years ago and just got to spend about a month in Australia and see family. I hadn't seen them in like 4 years and it was a beautiful, beautiful time. So we're going to pray for a new season. Amen. We're going to pray that this fall, God does something special in your life, personally, in your marriage, in your home, in your business, in your thinking, in your heart. We're going to believe for a new season in our church of growth and discipleship and leadership, empowerment. And we're just going to believe for the hand of God across our church. We need it. How many know you don't want to do church without Jesus? You don't want to do church without the Holy Spirit. And so we need him, and so we're going to pray. So would you join me? Would you join your faith with mine? And let's believe for an incredible new season. If you're watching online today and you haven't visited church yet, hey, we'll make you feel right at home. I know there's people that watch from Australia and all over the place. And so God bless you. We love you here. But come on, let's believe for a new season. Father, I thank you for a new season. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the elevation of Jesus in this place. I thank you for the empowerment of the saints. I thank you for the drawing of people that aren't sure about you yet. Father, I thank you for miracles. I thank you for hearts coming back to you. I thank you for faith awakening. I thank you for leaders rising. I thank you, God, for all the buildings we need, the finance we need. I thank you, God, Lord, for every church in New Jersey and America. God, I pray a fresh touch, a fresh oil upon every leader, every pastor. God, awaken, I pray, great things across your church, Lord, worldwide. But God, in this place, in Bergen County, God, Liquid Church and Hawthorne Church and all the churches are doing great things. But God, in this place right now, I pray for every man, every woman, every marriage. Lord, I speak life over him in Jesus' name. And I call him out to the purpose of God that he was created for. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, a faith-filled church said, yeah. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Come on, take your seat. Tell the person next to you, you lost some weight. And then tell the same person, don't worry, I'm going to find it again because we got donuts after church. I lost it, but I'm finding it again. It's like losing money and then finding it again, isn't it? How many appreciate our kids team who serves in church and takes care of your kids and keeps them safe and has them have fun and worship and good things? Man, I appreciate you guys. So interesting, we came back from Australia just recently and our flight from Sydney to Dallas was actually delayed 2 hours and the connecting flight was only like 3 hours. So all of a sudden, my wife and I are like, ooh, I don't know if this is going to happen. You got to go through customs. You got to go through the baggage check. And you got to get your bag and all the stuff. And we realized we were going to probably lose the flight. How many know on a long flight, like from Australia, you don't want to just stay in Dallas for no reason in a bad hotel somewhere? And so we were motivated to go and get the flight. And so we literally were running through the airport with our kids. We were making sure not to lose them. I was making sure my wife was keeping up. I was like, let's go. Transform ladies' fitness, you know? And we are literally home alone moment. I'm dead serious. That looks a lot like me, that lady with orange hair, but we were running through the airport literally like that. And we wait for our bags, choose the right bags, make sure you don't get the wrong bags. And then we show up to the place. And there's like 13 minutes until the flight's about to leave. And we just got there. We're like, we made it. And my wife was like, I need to go to the gym more. And I was like, I need to stretch my calf muscles. Like, I'm not 20 anymore. You don't just go running through places with your bag going up and down. And the kids are like, what? Let's go again. That was fun. We didn't lose Kevin. It was great. You know, one time I was in college and I came back to Australia, and my parents pick me up from the airport, get my bag, go home. And then I'm like, hey, mom and dad, I want to show you some pictures of what I've been doing. And I go into my luggage and I realize I got the wrong bag. Give me this bag, Danny. Need a little, it looked like my bag. It felt like my bag. It wasn't my bag. And my dad looks at me and he's like, Anthony, you gotta be kidding. We're gonna go back, drive an hour and 20 minutes to the airport, go pick it up. And I'm like, yeah. I'm a winner. I know I'm in college, but I'm pretty smart, you know. I felt like a genius that day. You gotta check your bags. Turn to your neighbor and say, check your bags. You gotta check that you got the right bag, your bag. See, God has something for you. God has presence for you. God has good things for you. But you gotta make sure that someone doesn't come along and somehow just exchange your faith for something disingenuine. You gotta make sure that you hold on to that thing, because there is a thief that wants to steal something that God wants to and desires to give to every person on the planet. And that is a genuine, genuine faith. Sometimes, though, on the journey of life, we get rushed and we hustle and we bustle. And before you know it, it's like we were holding something precious and we forgot what we were holding. We get lured by someone just saying, hey, take this for me. They always warn you at the airport, don't take any bags from anyone. And I want to tell you today, watch out who you're taking your bags from. Watch out that you're not just kind of leaving your bag a little bit to the side and doing maybe in your college years and 20 years like, hey, I'll leave my faith over here and expecting it to come back in your 30s and all of a sudden it's intact. Because it won't be. It'll be battered. It'll be stolen. Someone will have put some stuff in there that they should not have. I want to dive into, over this next number of weeks, actually, the book of Philippians. I'm going to go through the whole book. If you haven't read your Bible in a while, not sure where to start, dive in with us. Grab a verse out of it, chapter. It's four chapters. You can read it in 10 minutes, 12 minutes, 13 minutes. You could read it every day. You could read it once a week. You could just take your time through it, because we're going to go through it. But here's the deal. Before we jump into the book of Philippians, I need to go back to the book of Acts, because I need to set it all up and make sure that, see, when Paul was writing the book of Philippians, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who've received Jesus. And I just want us to go back and make sure that the faith that he's talking about is the faith that you carry. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus has risen from the dead. He's come back and the disciples are excited. And they're like, Lord, Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom? They're like, hey, we're going to be rulers and senators and governors. You're going to be the king. It's like a King David kind of time. And he's like, no, it's not up to you to know the times and seasons that my father's appointed. But he says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And he says, and you shall be my witnesses under Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And Acts 2, the Holy Spirit falls. And what was a sometimes moment in the Old Testament became an all-the-time moment where the Holy Spirit didn't just come upon someone and they prophesied for moments. No, he now comes in and he comes on people and he stays and he's with us forever. It's the promise of Jesus. And this church is spreading and lots of people receiving Jesus and finding Jesus. And there's lots of joy. Someone say joy.
Joy.
There's lots of joy, but then there's actually some Pharisees and Sadducees are getting mad about it, and Romans are getting concerned about it, and one dude, especially Paul, he's kind of like a hardcore Jew, and he just hates this new Jesus thing. He's like, no, you're changing our religion. And one day, Jesus just shows up to him, knocks him off his high horse, literally, blinds him for 3 days, sends a man named Ananias to him who prays for him to receive his sight back, and then prays for him to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And from that time on, this guy who was a hater of Christians literally used to go around talking to everyone and reasoning with them and persuading them and telling them about the Old Testament scriptures. It's like, listen, Isaiah 53, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The Messiah had to suffer, and he would convince many people to come to Christ. Anyway, fast forward about 5 years from Acts 1 and 2, you bump into Paul, fast forward a few more years, and Acts 16. Acts 16 is an interesting story. Paul's on his second missionary trip. He's spreading Jesus everywhere, but he's on this second ministry trip, and he plans to actually go to Asia, and the Holy Spirit forbids him to go. Then he's like, okay, I won't go to Asia. I'll go to this place called Mysia. And the Holy Spirit says no. He's wondering what the heck to do. He's a planner. Someone say a planner. But his plans are open to the change of the Holy Spirit. It's actually an amazing way to live. Be a planner. Someone say be a planner. But he's open. Someone say open. To the leading of God, to the change of God. And then he has a dream. And in the dream, there's a dude from Macedonia who shows up to him in this vision. And we read the text in verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Someone say, help us. Verse 10, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And so what do? They actually jump on this boat. They don't take a plane. They don't have Netflix playing. They don't have little people coming with peanuts. Would you like some peanuts? No, they're on a boat. Hardcore men, like, ugh, fishermen, smelly men, haven't showered for long periods of time. Like, I couldn't ever handle the long flight. Get on a boat and just stay on it and throw up a lot and then finally commit to your destination. That's Paul. Well, Paul, he travels to Macedonia, and the city he travels to is a place called Philippi. It's a cute little city. It's actually a place where military men would retire, ex high-level Romans. It's a Roman colony. And in this Roman colony, it's a place of order. It's a place of beauty. Paul goes there and he realizes, I'm going to go preach to someone. So he goes outside the city. There's a bunch of women hanging out there. And he begins to talk to some of them and see if, like, anyone's interested in this Jesus. And then verse 14, Acts 16 says this, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia, from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods. Someone say purple. Someone say goods. These were very expensive things that she's selling. She probably had a lot of money. She's a worshiper of God, so she's seeking God. She's actually pursuing God. She's like, God, I want to know you. And Paul has to unpack really what's actually happened because Jesus has risen from the dead. And the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized, someone say, get baptized.
Get baptized.
And her and her household as well. And this woman is the first woman or the first lady to receive the gospel at Philippi, and it's this woman named Lydia, and she's selling purple, and she's kind of seeking God, but she doesn't yet know Jesus, and all of a sudden she knows Jesus, and then she tells her family, hey, you need Jesus, and they all believe. This is the first one, okay? Heard, they believed. Then what happens? Well, then there's this slave girl. Paul's walking to a place where they go pray, 6 a.m. men's prayer. That's where he's going. It says he's going to the place of prayer, and then this slave girl comes along and starts taunting them. These people follow the one true God. And you're like, well, they're saying good things about you, Paul. Like, it's cool, but for some reason, it's maybe it's the tone, or it's the spirit, or it's the environment she's creating. She's a palm reader. She's a fortune teller. She just literally has a demonic thing, and that demonic thing allows her to tell the future. And the verse 18 says this, and this she kept doing for many days. Someone say many days.
Many days.
Paul, having become greatly annoyed, finally he's just like done with it. You ever heard of like all you haven't heard of that. Anyway. He says, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit. And then he says, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. She gets free in a moment. We don't know if she comes to faith. My assumption is she does. That's my assumption, but I can't prove in the Bible. But she gets free. And you would think like the owners are like super happy. Yay. This girl doesn't have a demon anymore. But they used to get their money through the demon work that she used to do, and she would get money for them, and she would pass it off to them, and all of a sudden, they're like, this dude has taken away our source of income. People get funny when you mess with their money. Even if they're doing evil stuff, people get funny when you mess with their money. And Paul has messed with their money, and all of a sudden, what do? They get a bunch of dudes, and they throw them in prison, and they beat them. And Paul and Silas is on the guitar. And Paul's singing harmony. And Paul's singing, dearest Father, I give this land and man a devotion. And Silas is there, dung, 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 dung. Like they are getting it down, right? There's praise and worship. Some of them don't know down. I don't know what they're doing. But they're praising and they're worshiping. And all of a sudden, God sends an earthquake to the prison, and all the doors just bust open. And the jailer, he wakes up like, what in the world happened? And he sees that the doors are open. He figures everyone's left, and they haven't left. And then he falls to his feet at Paul's feet and literally says to him, what do I do to be saved? Like, that's his line. It's a great line. What do I do to be saved? And then Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says this, and Paul says this, believe, someone say believe.
Believe.
Believe in the Lord Jesus. Some translations say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night. He washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once. Someone say, get baptized.
Get baptized.
He and what? All his family. And I want to show you this. This is important just for our setup here. There's these three moments. Lydia, who's the worshiper of God who sells purple, and her family believe. There's a slave girl who finds deliverance in the name of Jesus, and my assumption is she believes. And then there's this jailer and his family, and this actually becomes the catalyst of the church at Philippi. These are the first Christians, and we're assuming that they also then spread the news and they invite some people and they worship Jesus and they got the bass player and the guitar player and they're singing Dearest, Dearest Father and all the stuff is going on. And guess what? A church is born where they love Jesus. And Paul has to write them a letter. How do people come to faith? Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. How do people come to faith? How do people come to faith? They are
persuaded many times through reason. You'll see this over and over in the book of Acts. Paul would persuade people, reason with people. We have a logical faith. We have a science-backed faith. We have a historical faith. We don't just have a faith on blind nothingness. He would persuade people and reason with people. Are you with me?
Yeah.
The second way is you hear or you read or you see and you simply believe. There's this faith that's born in your heart. You hear a message. You watch a movie on the Passion of the Christ. You see a picture. I was 5 years old and I saw in my children's Bible Jesus on the cross. And I don't know what happened, but I just remember looking at it and going, that is significant in my own little childlike heart. And I came to faith in that moment, seeing a picture. There's another way, there's a third way, sometimes a freedom moment or a deliverance moment or a healing moment. God shows you in the inner part of your soul that you are loved and you might have never felt loved before. And it's like the love of God heals you in a moment and you go, man, God loves me. That's how people come to faith. There might be a tormenting anxiousness, depression. I've been near people and with people, and they had demons showing up at their house, and they're like, hey, Anthony, would you come and would you pray? And had a couple of friends come and go over the person's house, and we prayed that they'd no longer have demon stuff show up to their house. And there would be a freedom moment, and they came to faith in Christ at that night. Well, they started to. Anyway, I don't want to give you some over-exaggerated story. Number four, a supernatural God encounter. I know people in our church, and they came to Christ while they were partying as they had a dream that night. They had a dream, and Jesus literally spoke to them, gave them a scripture. I know another guy who has led churches in India all over the world and ministry all over the world, and he used to hurt people, and literally Jesus just appeared to him in the sky and said, this is what I've done for you, my son. What will you do for me? It was a supernatural God encounter. It was like a jailer moment. Does that make sense? I've had people in our church come and they say, Anthony, I'm an atheist. And they just kept on coming. And he just kept on coming, kept on coming. And it was interesting. I'd talk to him sometimes. He's like, oh, I'm getting closer. I was like, cool, man. Keep on coming, keep on coming. Why? He was being reasoned with. He was being persuaded over time. He had to think. He was cerebral. He had to think about it all. I got to work it all out. Maybe as an engineer of mind or very accountant-like, the dots had to go. Others just, I just feel it. Yeah. I feel. They didn't have to think at all. But he literally for 6 months was like, oh, I'm getting closer. Literally, one time he says to me, I'm just right there. I was like, jump over, man. And then later, he came up to me with tears in his eyes. And all of a sudden it happened. He's like, I believe. Got baptized. Still a Christian this day. Some grow up in church, in the faith, and they just heard it. And then one day when they heard it, it was like the Holy Spirit played the piano in the background as they heard about the love of God. And all of a sudden it went from God loves the world to God loves me. And it was like God played. And sometimes if you grew up in the faith, sometimes you undervalue your faith experience because it wasn't this big supernatural experience. But I'm telling you right now, all throughout the book of Acts, there were some supernatural experiences, but there were some people that just were reasoned to and they were persuaded and then they came to genuine faith. Does that make sense? Let me ask you a different question. How do you come to faith? How do you lose your faith? How do you lose your faith? By listening to people that cast doubt on your faith. The same way you can be reasoned with and persuaded to come to the faith, you can just sit there and educate your mind so much that it just casts so much doubt in you. Be wary of people that cast doubt on your faith. How do you lose your faith? Sometimes the love of the world, the lure of an easy, pleasure-filled life just grabs you and you just believe it. If you just follow God, it's going to be all misery. Nothing can be further from the truth. The reason the world is often high on drugs is because they don't have joy. Yeah. And I want to tell you, when you follow Jesus, even in the hard times, like Paul, you can have joy.
Yeah.
Sometimes, how do people lose their faith? The fear of other people's opinions. The Pharisees were always obsessed with what did everyone else think? And they often couldn't come to faith because they were afraid of everyone's opinion. How do you lose your faith? Some people can lose their faith out of a tragedy. Just like some people can come to faith out of a miracle, some people can lose their faith out of a tragedy. But you got to know that the God of the Bible, that He is good, and that even when life is bad, He is good. Some people hear and see a miracle, and they simply harden their heart. The Pharisees saw blind people see, deaf people hear, lame people walk, and they couldn't believe. I've met a man who was resurrected from the dead. Dead 45 minutes. He was on channel. He was on 60 Minutes back in the day. Literally tells me he died in a plane crash and then was heading. He said he saw a great light, but he saw a great darkness. And he had this one prayer in between life and death. And he said, God, give me one more chance. And he came back. And you know that sometimes you can tell people that story? No, I don't know. Because sometimes it's not convenient for you to believe upon Jesus right now. And sometimes your friends don't believe upon Jesus. And maybe life is exciting for you. And, oh man, I'm about to go to college. Or I'm about to do this. Or I'm about to live with my girlfriend. I'm about to join the party life. And you hear about a miracle, but you don't want to hear the miracle. And then I would also say this, some people would say they're a Christian and they're like, yeah, I got the bag, but if you check inside the bag, there's dead man's bones in there. There's nothing in it. I went to church, I came, I believe in God, I'm a good person. And you're like, but do you know the one who died for you? Have you experienced His love? Has His grace changed your life? Has His Spirit come into your heart? Is there actions before that you used to do, but now you're like, no, I got to leave that. Does that make sense? I believe this series is going to help people come to faith. I believe this series is actually going to solidify some people in the faith. And I believe it's going to deepen the faith. We're going to open up the Word, the book of Philippians, and we're going to unpack a lot of things, and you're actually going to find there's going to be things in your heart and your mind that in the luggage of your life that you're like, huh, I need to get rid of that. You ever notice that when you put your bags through, they're checking for agriculture because certain agriculture doesn't work in another country and will send like a bug to that country and they're like, don't bring in carrots. You're like, why? Because sometimes the bugs on the carrots can get into like Australia, for instance, and those plants aren't used to those bugs. And I would also say this to you, that there's certain bugs that want to get into your spirit and into your heart. And God's like, that you serve a different kingdom now. You used to be from that land, but now you're from another place, and those values are different. And so you've got to deal with it and allow the scan of the Word of God, the scan of the Holy Spirit to literally say, you're going to go to the next level of faith. You're going to leave that thing behind. Simple question, what is a Christian? Acts 16, 31. Sirs, Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? What's he saying? What must I do to have a right relationship with God? What must I do to be forgiven? What must I do to be adopted in the family of God? Like, I'm a jailer. I keep bad people away, but I probably do a lot of bad things. And I allow a lot of bad things to happen. He felt guilty, I'm sure. His conscience was just like, man, something's wrong. What must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. You and your household. Let's take a moment to unpack what that means to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Mormons believe in Jesus. Jehovah's Witness, they believe in Jesus. They say He's a God, not the God. Islam, they believe in Jesus. They believe He's a prophet, just not God. But you know what's more dangerous than a lot of the different religions in the world today that are named and known is actually cultural Christianity. I'm a Christian or I'm a Catholic, and maybe they're in movies or maybe they're a politician, and so they'll use the Christian card, the God card, the Catholic card, and all of a sudden, and you're like, wait, which Jesus do you believe in? Because if you think that's okay, if you want to pass this law and think that's plausible as a Christian, you know a different Jesus than I know. Not only do you affirm those laws and pass those laws, you think it's awesome when those laws are passed. And so those things make me go, wait, which Jesus do you have? Because I know a different one. And he isn't cool with that. Which Jesus did Paul have? Philippians chapter 2 breaks it down. He says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. The Father died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor, gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, this is important, that at the name of Jesus, not teacher Jesus, not prophet Jesus, not self-help Jesus, not just loving Jesus. That at the name of this Jesus that I proclaim to you, he says every knee should bow. And every in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And he says, and every tongue declare that Jesus is the Christ, the sent one of God. He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. What's Paul saying? The Jesus I preach, he's not just a nice way to God, he's God. He's not just a special name, he's the name. He's the name that demons tremble. He's the name that sometimes people get mad. He's the name that makes people awkward occasionally. Like, oh no, it's Jesus. Why? He scares demons. He challenges the heart of men. He died upon a cross. He loves you and me. That Jesus, the one that didn't spiritually rise, but physically stepped out of a tomb. Oh, 3 days later, and said, I have all authority and power. I'm talking about that Jesus. Let's dive in a little bit deeper. I'm running out of time, but let me dive in a little bit deeper here. It is important for you to have the real deal faith. It is important. Let me read to you what church fathers wrote, and this has been one of the most uniting creeds, called the Apostles' Creed, across the life of Christians for generations, written about 350 years after Christ ascended. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. They would say, I believe that. What does that speak of? Genesis 1. God's purpose, God's design, marriage, Adam and Eve, the fall, all of those things, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the prophets. I believe in God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have a miraculous faith. Born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, we have a pure faith. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, an actual leader historically an actual historical figure. All right, that's all I need to say. Was crucified. Didn't faint it. Didn't like a couple of nails, take him out, fake it. No, crucified. Died. Buried. Descended to hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Hebrews 10:27 says, it is appointed on a man once to die and after that the judgment. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy United Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That's what Paul believed. That's what these Philippians believed. And as we dive into the book of Philippians over the next month, that's the Jesus who they believed in. He wasn't just loving Jesus. He was loving and holy Jesus. He was wise Jesus. He wasn't just teaching Jesus. He was teaching a miracle Jesus. He wasn't just a wise man. He knew things that no one else could ever know. He knew the future so well that you literally look at his prophecies and just go, dang. And this Jesus said this, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of this Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news. Someone say good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty. Someone say liberty. Someone say freedom. He has sent me to proclaim liberty and freedom to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. One day, I thought I had my bag. I went home and I checked it. Wasn't my bag. I think this series is going to encourage some people's faith to go, man, I do have the real deal faith. And I'm sure there's some things the Holy Spirit's going to nudge in your heart and challenge you on. And if you want to go to a church that never challenges you, this probably isn't the place. Just saying. If church never challenges you, you're in the wrong church. If they always affirm everything you think, ever? Yeah, it's probably not the place. But I had to go and take back my fake bag and go get a real bag. Yeah. There's going to be times in this series where you're just going to unpack some stuff and go, man, I didn't realize how much life God had for me, how much good things God had for me. And then it's like, how come I'm still holding on to these ugly, like dirty socks? I need to throw them out. Victim mindsets and self-righteousness and unrighteousness and unholy things. And man, God has peace for you. God has faith for you. And he says, I have come that you might have life. That's the Jesus that Paul preached, and life more abundant. And I want to encourage us today to pray this simple prayer for our church, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. You can pray it for our pastors, you can pray it for our transform groups, you can pray it for, goodness, every church in New Jersey, you can pray for every church in America, you can pray for one another, you can pray for your family, your wife, your kids. Pray this, come on, let's say this together, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. And so be pure and be blameless for the day of Christ. Come on, all across this place, why don't you close your eyes? Father, I thank you. I thank you for every person online right now. I thank you for every man, every woman. You know the stage and age of every single one. God, you know their faith, and you know where it's strong and where it's weak. You know what you need to deal with. And so, Lord, as I communicate this message, I pray that you would just affirm your love for some of them. I pray for some of them, their reasoning mind would find reasons to follow you, to know you, and to seek after you, and not just the things of this world. Father, I lift up your house to you. Lord, breathe upon it. We need your breath, your life, your abundance, your goodness, your truth. So God, pour across, Lord, every life right now. Let an infusion of love and grace and faith affect every life right now. in our kids' space right now, every teacher right now, every mother, every father, as they lead their homes, God, every middle school and high school student, college student, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, touch them and strengthen them right now, all across this church. Thank you for what you've done in the past, but thank you for what you're going to do in the future. I thank you. I praise you. All across this place where eyes closed, maybe here today, and you grew up perhaps in the faith, or maybe you're checking out church for the very first time, and for some of you, you just need to keep on showing up and keep on coming because you're not ready to put your faith in Christ. You need to be reasoned with and compelled, and you're perhaps not ready. But for some of you today, some of you may be the day right now where you're like, I believe that Jesus loves me, died for me, died on the cross, and I believe he needs to forgive my sin and come into my life. And maybe that's you today. And if that is you today, online today, if that is you today in this sanctuary today, we're going to pray a prayer as a church family that you would simply put your faith in Christ. And I want to simply lead you along that prayer. We're going to say it out loud together. So all across this place, we're going to say it as a church family. But for those of you who want to put your faith in Christ for the very first time today, or you know you need to come back to him because you've lost it and you're far from him today, say this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you love me with an undying love. So forgive my sins. Come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. My very best friend. Eyes closed all across this place. If you meant business with God today, would you quickly raise your hand just to let me know, let God know, all across this place, raise your hand. Those of you putting your faith in Christ for the very first time, some of you just saying, man, I'm coming back to God today. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Praise God for you. Praise God for you, sir. Praise God for you. Praise God. You can put your hand down. Father, thank you. Every hand, every heart, God, every family represented, bless your people. Lord, as your word says, the year of the favor of the Lord, I declare your favor over your people right now. In Jesus' awesome name, we pray. Come on, if you receive God's word today, can you give the Lord a hand? Come on, can you give him a hand?